we are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
Hello, world. This is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 2 of BaseNet Radio is Silent Slade.
Hey there.
And we have a guest this week, Morbid.
Hey, guys.
On this show, we discuss lots of news in the tech and computer industries that we find interesting. Of course, this includes some Slashdot and some other well-known sources, but we do try to find news that's not in the spotlight. We also have the Distro of the Week section, and in the near future, we'll add a few more sections. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slicko.net. That's Slicko with a zero, the number zero. First, before the tech news, I would like to make a few announcements. The first one being that the BaseNet Radio website now has a blog. The blog is mainly about how we felt the show went, what went wrong, if anything did, and other behind-the-scenes stuff relating to the show. I would also like to apologize for forgetting to turn the bypass to the compressors off after getting mic levels. This caused us to sound quieter and the background music stream to sound much louder. Anyway, I guess we can get on to the first section. And what have you got for news today?
Well, we got a lot of things going on in the news world today, and I want to start off with a warning to all network administrators.
How come?
Well, if you're running any NT4 boxes, you have no support from Microsoft in the next few days. They're cutting it off on the 31st.
That's never fun.
Well, yeah, well.
Why would they be doing that?
Well, because they want you to upgrade and pay more money.
But why would they want the customer to pay more money? Oh, wait, yeah, never mind.
Microsoft.
This is Microsoft we're talking about.
Yeah.
They're not just going to, like, hand them out for free. The only thing they do is give out 95 for free, I believe.
They give out 95 for free?
Yeah, to, like, organizations and schools and things like that.
They might give it to them, but they don't have support.
Well, there's no support for it. Of course not.
No. But they also give them free MSN for a year, praying that they keep sticking with it for an insane amount of money.
Well, that's an AOL
tactic kind of thing.
Right there, isn't it? Try AOL free for, like, 1,000 some too many hours. And
yeah, didn't you have something on AOL as well?
Oh, we had a lot of
things. Speaking of those
AOL,
bastards.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, they're really bastards if you have AOL for broadband.
How come?
Well, they're starting to phase it out. So a lot of the customers on the 15th are going to be removed off the AOL for broadband and kicked off. So they're going to have to find some other internet service provider.
It's like, kind of bad cable. Business principles there, you know?
Yeah, that doesn't sound nice.
No, it's not nice. I mean, can you imagine, like, you open up your email from AOL and says, hi, we're kicking you off on the 15th. Go find someone else. And you can come join us on Bring Your Own Access for $15. Like, what the hell? Who's going to actually keep it?
I don't know. Isn't that what AT&T is pulling also?
Well, what are they doing?
Oh, something like that.
With Singular, they bought them out. So
No. But the AT&T customers are turning into Singular customers now.
If they want to.
Oh, really? It's an if they want to?
Yeah. This kind of the transition phase, and they have a choice to stay with them or go somewhere else.
That's interesting, because I don't see why they wouldn't want to, because now that you got the two companies together, they had the same technology in their cellular antennas, so it's going to just be double that signal amount, or double the...
It's just you're going to... They have the...
Are their plans different, too, now?
No, they're all going to be the same plans, but you're going to lack the support. Billing's going to be messed up. You're going to have a lot of issues with that.
Ooh, ouch.
So, I mean, you may have the network for the phones, which is improved over what it was.
Yeah,
but you're
that's
gonna
definitely going to be an improvement.
The support issue is going to be where it goes in, money, all that. So you might as well either, if you don't like what you have, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When a company suddenly doubles the customers and also lays off some of their employees...
You tend to have an issue there.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Another issue would be, what happens if you were at a special plan rate with AT&T? Will Singular honor that, or what are they going to do?
They won't. I don't know.
They have to, but...
I guess until your plan runs out, they have to honor it.
Yeah.
I don't know about once your plan expires.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
You won't get your special rate back. Oh, well. Feel bad for AT&T customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing how all that GSM stuff goes now, the GSM America thing. Because GSM has been an old, like, how long has that been around in Europe?
Quite a while.
Quite some time.
Isn't that what SMS is based messaging? Around?
Huh? No.
No?
In America, we're all like TDMA,
no,
CDMA.
In Europe.
Oh, in Europe, yeah, everything's GSM.
There.
More or less.
They could do everything with
your
phone.
You're able to buy one phone and switch providers, like, in between.
You could probably turn on your car from your phone in Europe, seriously.
you can go to the...
Actually, using SMS messaging, I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to.
In Finland, you can go to the supermarket and check out food with your phone.
It's ridiculous, but that's why the radiation levels are so much higher there for the phones.
Yeah, well, what other options? You can open up your garage door. I've seen that.
Lights.
You could do that with anything IR. That's able to learn your remote command.
You can pay for your car wash. That was a good one. You just dial in a certain number and put in your credit card information right there on the spot while you're driving through.
Kind of convenient.
Car wash.
Car wash.
Wow.
Way to get even lazier. Yes.
But it makes sense. I mean, if you have the phone, why bother getting out?
It's convenient,
but here,
I guess.
Here, it's like, we're so backwards.
Yeah,
progress.
We have 800 different phone types. None of them ever work. Your reception sucks. You get dropped.
Yeah, it's not like one network where you know that it's going to work, and but whatever. I mean, there are some cases when everything being the same is good. Mm-hmm. Some cases when everything being the same is bad. Cell phone network, a phone network that is proven to work. Instead of trying to reinvent that, why don't you use that and build off of it, like with GSM and whatnot?
Right. If it's
as
working,
opposed to
we'll
what's going
it.
On.
Because that would be intelligent.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the Sprint Nextel problem. If they buy each other out, what the hell are they gonna do? You mentioned before they're using both different
that's
technologies.
Gonna,
like what the wait, hell?
That's
who's buying Nextel's buying that Sprint.
Sprint may be buying Nextel.
Really? Why?
Exactly. I do not know.
Wait, Nextel's better than Sprint. Their services...
They're about even as far as talking on the phone goes. Nextel's got their two-way, or one, whatever the heck that thing
Direct
is.
Direct Connect.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
That walkie-talkie bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The annoyance in public places.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nothing worse than being on a busload of
but
people.
I've talked to...
Three of them have the Nextel thing.
I only know two people who are with Nextel. Well, I probably know more, but I know two who, like, show me their phones and whatnot. And they both said if Sprint buys Nextel, they're switching. One already did switch.
Because of the rumor?
Because of the rumor.
Well, I just...
They hate Sprint that much.
I don't know people who have Sprint that actually have phones that work. Like, service-wise, no, they just don't work. Like, voicemail takes weeks to actually get
Same
to them.
Same goes for T-Mobile.
T-Mobile's the
Dude,
worst, man.
Wait, I left a message on my... friend's cell phone, wishing him a Merry Christmas or whatever. And he said, I actually got your message. And I'm like, it's a Christmas miracle. It was just like, wow. Because there were times when I like called him like a couple times. And then he called me, hey, what's up? And I'm like, hey, you got my message? What message? And I'm like, did you even see that I called? No. That was yesterday.
Nextel ain't much better with that.
Yeah. Nextel is better with stuff like that.
Not always. I mean,
oh, really?
A friend who you leave voicemails for, who gets them about 2 months later, supposedly.
Wow.
Like, oh, I got a new phone now. The issue's fixed. I'll answer now.
Wow.
I got a new phone. I received your message now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Ouch.
That's really good.
Doesn't matter, though, because they just don't have their phone on them anymore.
Yay for cell phone war stories.
Ranting is fun.
The best is when they get your message while you're talking to them face to face.
Yeah.
I sent it to you like 3 hours ago. You didn't receive it. Oh, here it is. Like.
Yeah, seriously. Like, the next. One time I called him throughout the week or whatever. And I forget. He was probably, like, busy with classes or something. Mm-hmm. And then we were chilling one day. Mm-hmm. And then, all of a sudden his cell phone starts beeping, and he's like, 9 missed calls. And it's like, 7 of them were you? And I'm like, yeah, I tried calling you a few times this week. It's like, he was asking if I called right then. I'm like, no.
9 missed calls in 1 second. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, right. Especially when his phone has been on. But...
was he at least able to make calls or anything?
Yeah, he could send and receive, but...
who's he using?
T-Mobile.
Okay, that makes sense.
There's very few that I don't hear any, like bad things about. Hey, actually, no, there's none that I don't hear any bad
things.
Their
plans are cheap for a reason.
Yeah.
It's free because we don't know how it works. Okay, so... anyway, how did we get into phones out of AOL?
Well, we were saying last week about AOL, the phones, but I forget how it went into that this time.
Well, I think the last thing we said last week, we were scared that they would launch phone, and they did. They started launching voice over IP service.
We were discussing about that before the first show, a week before the first show, and then...
no, because of broadband, like the companies switching, what are you going to do? Because of AT&T thing, that's how we got to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
that's right.
Ooh. Now, this is interesting.
What's that?
AOL Canada plans to offer VoIP service for... this is... it's 1610. Yeah.
That's what we were talking about last week.
1610 American?
Oh. No, that can't be American.
That's what it says here. It's 1995 Canadian.
Huh.
A 3-month introductory price. And then it's going to go up to 2820, which makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Wait, wow, 1610 for a trial price.
Even 2820.
2820 is
pretty
low.
For a full price, yeah.
Hey, Canada's...
then again, VoIP is pretty expensive if you compare it to, like, what they're actually doing to get it done.
I see how they're cheating. All right, it's unlimited subscriber-to-subscriber calling.
Oh, they're treating it like a cell phone.
And you get
deal.
60 minutes to North America.
Oh.
A month.
60 minutes a month?
North America? Or
North America.
That's okay. Including Canada.
Canada and America.
That plan is a ripoff. Don't use AOL.
How much is it
still
for overages?
Don't use AOL.
That's not in here. So I'm guessing that, you know, if you can't see the price tag, you can't afford it kind of thing goes.
Yeah, one of them.
Interesting.
Well, let's see. And they expect to have 1.1 million users by 2007.
And then none by 2008.
None by 2008, right.
Yeah, remind me to cleanse my head later from, like, having that thought that could AOL be doing something nice?
Nah. I don't even get how AOL can open up businesses outside of America.
Yeah, and America Online.
America Online.
In Canada.
Canada. America Online in the UK.
AOL in England, yep.
Yeah.
How do you use AOL in England?
It's AOL. Sad. It's not America Online.
It's AOL. Oh, it's not America Online.
No, it's just AOL.
Dumbing down people in America and beyond.
That works.
Yeah.
Well, at least now we know what their prices are, but anyway... considering VoIP, I mean, why don't people just go to other companies like Vonage or Packet 8 and get more than 60 minutes a month?
Well, we don't know yet because they didn't really start that. It's only been... have they started or have they just announced
their
plans?
They're announcing that they're going to do it this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's... you don't know that they're going to... it's going to be successful or anything, so... people probably will just stay with the Packet 8 or Vonage or even their local telco if they provide it.
Well, cable companies are doing it, too.
Oh, yes, that's true. Oh, no, wait, why would local telco... oh, yeah, I was thinking cable companies, local cable companies,
I think
but...
telcos are going to also start doing it just for the sake of getting into it. I could have sworn I heard Verizon rumor about them doing voice over IP once they launch Fios.
I'm sorry, that just
Stop
doesn't...
stuttering.
No, I'm...
through the DSL,
just, I'm just trying to process
no,
that
it's
because...
it's an upgrade to your regular service.
No.
That's how they market it.
No. But that just doesn't make sense at all.
Exactly. I mean,
because you have copper wire going to your house. A reliable source
Don't
that you know
me.
Is going to work.
I didn't
and
say
you
that
would
makes
use,
sense.
And you would send packets over it instead of just using it plain old, like...
I know what you're saying.
It's just hard to comprehend. I'm sorry.
Hey, it's so people can think they're getting it. That's
Some people will buy anything because it's an upgrade. You know?
That's true.
Right. It's digital now. Mm-hmm. It's better.
Not only does AOL have 9.0, they have 9.0 optimized.
And security.
Security version,
Which just puts way too much extra stuff on your system.
Yeah, it bogs it down and doesn't let you connect.
Do you know what I think is funny? How Microsoft recently has been buying all the spyware and, like, companies and whatnot. that, well, not the spyware companies, but the
they did buy a spyware company, actually.
They did buy a spyware company? Oh, I thought they were trying to buy the...
Was it Adware?
No.
They were trying to buy companies
Spy
like that.
Buster or some bullshit.
Yeah, Spy Bust, like the ones that counter spyware.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to buy that, and I'm just thinking, why the hell not just fix the holes that open those things, allowing them to install and do that kind of shit?
Because that would involve actually, you know, paying people to do work.
Because they would want to sell it.
Right.
Ah.
Because why would someone need the next version of Windows then?
Who knows?
That's another good point.
Because the next version, they always fix some security holes and then create new ones.
Five more.
I love the way they have Service Pack 2 and fix all the upgrades creator. For Internet Explorer.
And all the problems which Service Pack 2 caused with XP systems.
Oh, man. I've heard them all. It's like,
there's probably new ones out there that you haven't heard of these past 3 hours.
I installed Windows Update and I can't connect now.
Systems runs like you have 16 megabytes of memory there.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
What is it actually pretend that you actually have your memory hole enabled or something?
It's just It's just harsh. It takes about a half hour to actually boot up the system.
Doesn't it require like 64 at least just to...
Well, it's just if you have it installed, you can't do anything on your system. You have to throw it in safe mode, uninstall it, and then the system runs fine again.
Interesting.
Well, fine as a Windows system can run.
It runs well for the first few seconds. You know.
Until you get online.
Until the loading screen is done.
If you make it that far.
It's when the actual Windows shell loads that you have all the problems. Because then at that point, you know, you're at their mercy. Okay, so anyway. Let's see. Well, we were talking about AOL. Now, does anyone know how many subscribers these people still have?
No clue. I'm surprised that there's as many as there are left.
If you believe the campaign they were running recently, everyone switched to Net Zero. Because the way Net Zero stole their commercials.
Yeah. Well,
Net Zero stole their commercials.
You know, remember the whole commercial where they had all the users from AOL going there to give a...
Were stealing users in their commercial.
No, they did the commercials with the exact same actors.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the exact same parts, except they said, you have users here, like, they all left and we're switching to Net Zero instead.
Nice. I wish I caught that. I don't watch it on TV.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole, they're doing a lot of that with different companies.
I did not see that.
Stealing
That's
the ad
cool.
campaigns. The same exact actors, everything, just they're like,
Excellent.
Instead they're here to make a comment, they're here to switch to Net Zero.
That's one way to use TV, too.
That's,
man.
Yeah, that's... That's actually creative advertising.
Yeah, it's still
I haven't even
dirty,
seen
though.
That.
It's like...
Yeah, it's well... What advertisement have you seen that isn't? I mean, you're looking at commercials
Could
that...
Could you imagine, like, James Earl Jones pimping Optimum Online?
No, it's good to see other industries besides just cable DSL, like, having, like, mud throwing competitions. Now it's...
The dial-up companies are fighting. Did you see the Net Zero versus Netscape?
Dial-up. Yeah.
There's a Netscape.
Where he's like, you switch to it.
It's like, you're a Netscape user, aren't you? No, man.
What is it? I have LD back in 1 second.
Okay. God, I love it when you receive one of those emergency calls.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, what was that last week or was that this week, the New York Times ad? That was last week, wasn't it? Last week's
News. New York
Times
advertisement for Firefox?
Yes.
Yes, that was last week's news.
That's what I thought.
I got the number here. I knew I had it somewhere. Let's see. They went from 27 million subscribers last year.
Down to?
23.
Okay. I didn't have to say up to. That's good.
4 million people only.
That's a lot of people still.
That's a lot of people, but they still have 23 million people still on dial-up or that broadband or bring-your-own-access crap.
Hmm. That's kind of
I like the way the music is just bleak for the moment, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, so this is Super Metroid. I believe.
Right, so they lost 4 million people in the last year, right? And of course, they take advantage and use this as a media ploy by saying, oh, we have... Our users are reporting less spam now. Because you have 4 million
less
people.
Well, that's
because
you have less users.
You have 4 million less people with spam.
Yeah.
Spam probably, like, raised by a percentage, but probably lost more people in percentage.
Well, I don't know. Do they give statistics where it would be percentage-wise?
Let me see if I can figure that out. Didn't really look into it that deeply, but I can probably find out something. Alright, just go on to something else. I'll look into it. I think it was dropped by 22% supposedly.
Okay, yeah. So it is a percentage then.
Yes, 20% is pretty big. That's like a quarter almost.
Yeah.
They didn't lose that many users.
Okay. Interesting.
Maybe they finally turned a spam filter on somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? But I mean, a lot of the spam filtering techniques that AOL has, aren't they also available in third-party applications that are free?
Everything AOL has is available in a third-party application. AOL is a third-party application. You don't need AOL to get online.
No, but I mean third-party from AOL, as far as that goes. I mean, it's not like the embedded Winamp. It's not like the... Do they still use that embedded Winamp? I stopped using AOL, like...
I haven't used AOL in a long time.
No, they're not?
Real player.
Oh, really?
Oh, they
Real Player now.
Real Player?
Didn't... aren't they all the same company now?
Real Player and Winamp?
No, AOL, don't they...
AOL owns... Nullsoft now, so they own Winamp pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
When did that happen?
That happened a while ago.
2 years ago?
I don't have the memory span past last week.
Okay.
The lead programmer for the Nullsoft team left anyway, as soon as it happened.
Yep.
Like, 2 weeks later,
he was gone.
You know, kind of like AOL, the Instant Messenger, they had the Dead Aim add onto it.
Yeah.
The programmer for Dead Aim supposedly works for AOL now, with AOL now.
Why?
So, I don't know. So, they, like, kind of talk to each other to discuss which features are allowed or not. That's why if you had an older version of Dead Aim, which you could remove yourself from user's buddy list.
Mm-hmm. Oldversion.com.
Oh, yeah.
No, even if you have an old version, it's disabled.
It's disabled.
Really? It doesn't allow that specific protocol.
You can't remove yourself from a user's buddy list anymore.
Well, actually, what am I saying? The protocol's Oscar, but the...
So he switched.
Probably sends some type of version flag.
They work with each other to kind of see which features they'll let him use and whatnot like that.
That's sort of cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they paid him off to do that.
Well, that's rumored what it is. I'm not going to...
Oh, that's the rumor.
Yeah, rumored.
Well, if he's out there and listening to this, he should give us a call.
Yeah, we don't have a number yet. Even
well,
if we were thinking of getting
us, it's not that difficult.
Oh, yes,
website,
yes.
Give us an email.
That's not a call, though. You said give us a call as if we had a number.
Email us, and then we'll contact you some other way.
Basenet@slickzero.net. SLICK, the number 0. Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
I have too much fun keeping out that email address. I should have really got a better domain instead of putting that damn number in there, but...
Hey, you know, I could just, you know, say email slade@silentslade.net, and I'll... pass it on.
That's true. It's another way.
I'll do that from now on. All right, let's see. So we have Vonage. And did you? I already mentioned that they're going to start selling Vonage kits at CompUSA.
You have? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned them earlier.
You're telling me earlier.
I think it's going to have something to do with a Linksys box.
Linksys?
Linksys box, yes. It's going to come with a Linksys setup here. A Wi-Fi router, too. Nice.
So they're guaranteed to break within 2 months?
Hmm?
How do you mean?
Side comment.
Oh, okay.
Linksys is going to fall apart. See, so it's a $14.99 package for residential users, $49.99 for like small businesses, plus the equipment. So that's interesting. So people can just, you don't have to like call them up and wait for them to send you something. You can just go to CompUSA and pick up the whole thing.
That's nice.
Voice over IP. Now, once
has like a number or something you would type in.
It's probably
online or something.
Probably have like a 1-800 number you register with.
Some type of way of actually activating it.
Or going to a website or something and activating it.
Yeah,
I mean, you're already online.
It's probably either way. So.
Now the only thing is having people giving people the warning that it's going to suck up the hell out of your bandwidth when you're.
How much bandwidth does it really take upstream?
Upstream. The problem is most internet providers nowadays don't give you a lot of upstream.
I know, that's why I'm asking upstream, because that's where they really limit you.
Right, I've seen a lot of people complaining about it, so.
I heard Verizon, at least in New England, mm-hmm. is going to be increasing your bandwidth for upstream.
By how much?
Roughly
another few kilobytes or... 100 kilobytes or something?
Yeah, something about that. I mean, they're doing something, trying to make it seem more...
They just raised it to 3.
They're more appealing. They're trying to make it a little more appealing to people compared to cable.
So. Okay.
Verizon raised their limit from 1.5 megs to 3 just recently.
And yeah,
interesting.
I noticed like 3 days later, one of the cable companies up from 3 to 5.
Yeah, I think I forget which cable companies are up to five now.
Time Warner Cable here in New York is up to five.
Cox claims in Rhode Island, Cox claims they're up to five. That's if you could ever stay online for more than an hour.
That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good to be online for an hour and then
drop out.
Everyone I know who uses Cox has problems.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's like, hey, so how are you doing? Hello? Oh, man.
Glad I'm not up there.
Comes back, two more minutes, you know, saying, how was your day? But gone.
Wow.
And you have broadband? You sure that's not dial-up? Do you have a phone connected to you?
Nah, dial-up is more reliable than it sometimes.
Are you sure you're using a DOCSIS modem?
Did they give you this modem? Is the cable split anywhere? Is it like...
Yeah, are you sure you got the digital side of the splitter going to you? Your digital...
Is there a raccoon
modem?
Living on the cable wire? I don't know what the hell they do.
How the heck would a raccoon live on a cable wire?
Just living on the pole, just chewing on the wires for fun.
Wouldn't it fall after a while if it hit the wrong wire?
That would be,
like a nice 540 volt line.
You hear a scream and then scurrying away.
Scurry, you hear a splat, it hits the ground and like...
Man, I have all these opportunities for the sound effects that I don't have on my program right now.
Hey, don't worry. Over time, we'll figure them out. We're going to start adding them in. We need a splatting sound, an electrical volt sound. Like, what do you have on there now?
What do I have on here now?
Oh, my God, I got shock sound. We need
I have that kind of thing that could scare any Windows user out there.
Yeah. No.
I have the standard Windows sound from, like, Windows 3.1, cash register sound, a drum roll, crickets in case we go dead at one point.
I have
the theme, obviously, and the new section sound effect. That's about it. And in case any of us curses, just beep us out when...
Oh, what the? Yeah, that was...
Sorry, that was slow on my part.
Yeah, we sucked.
Delayed cursing, yes.
What the fuck?
What the... Ooh, as the song started, amazing.
That sucks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting off topic. What else we got in the news?
Well, let's see. Novell's launching their beta for Novell over Zeus.
Really?
Really, yes.
That's
quite
interesting.
So now companies have possibly an option coming up to switch from, you know, their Novell over Windows boxes to Novell over Zeus boxes.
That's interesting. I know where I work, I'm able to run GroupWise now on my Linux box.
Really?
That's good. They provide RPMs. So, for beta.
Do you have full functions, or is there some things you're limited to? You haven't tried yet.
Seems full functions, yeah.
Okay.
It works fine. They also have it for OS X now, too.
Oh, so they acquired Zeus in 2003. It's already the end of 2004.
Right.
So it's only taken them about a year and a half to get it pretty much integrated.
It's not bad. But we'll see where they're going to take Zeus, though. Is it Zeus? Zeus.
Zeus.
You always see these acronyms, and you never know how to say them.
There's not like it has a pronunciation table for Linux names. We had the same problem last week with Arch Linux. Or Arch.
Well, no. I didn't have that problem. You did.
Yes.
Because Arch, A-R-K, is another distro than Arch, which is A-R-C-H.
Reading it straight up, though, looks like it's Arch.
Well, yeah, that's because, like... A-R-C-H can be read two ways.
Okay.
You could read it as Arch or Arc.
All right, let me just scan through here.
You'd figure there already is an Arc Linux, so.
That's true, A-R-K. So. Ooh. All right, now, just scanning through here. Question about what happens to your email when you die?
Yes.
We were talking about this earlier. Who does it go to?
Before we started rolling.
Ooh, I mean, who does it belong to once you're dead?
Who would you want it to be belong to?
Who would even?
Oh wow, that sounds like all.
This.
Whoa, well, I sound like zeroing my sentence.
Let's say you have like a lot of bank accounts and everything goes to your email. All the information is there in your debt. The only way to access your accounts is to go through, to get the passwords and everything. But without access to your email,
what are you gonna do? Does the email belong to the bank since it's bank related material, or
does it belong to the?
Is it bank-related
ISP
material?
That gives you the email, or to the server that it's run on, if it's personal, or what?
Or, like, many actual items to the actual family members which survived the deceased.
If you have, like, can you put it on your will that, you know, I want my email to go to this person, I want my bank account?
Well, I guess if you do it in your will, it's legally the half.
It's a legal document.
What happens if you don't? If you die unexpectedly, like
living wills. I guess you have to have a living will covering all bases, or I don't know.
That's interesting. Do you know how that came about? That whole discussion.
Well, see, the reason I bring it up because I was running through the internet and I ran into this article somewhere. Where is this? It's just one of those weird places. The messaging pipeline off TechWeb. And it's talking about a story about his father whose son was dying. He was sick and he was corresponding with other people. They were giving him get well messages.
Okay.
Then his son died and he can't access the email because he doesn't have a password or anything.
Okay.
And he wanted to print out all the messages and put them in a scrapbook. Simple request. But, you know, Yahoo won't give him the pass. And he doesn't know any.
Well, if that situation, he was the one that communication was going to and from with the email.
Right.
I would say that maybe, I'm not going to say anything definitely because it always will depend on the situation. Because emails could be going back and forth about, stop emailing me. And the other one, it emails him back and it's kind of like a stalker situation.
No, but this is...
Then it could be bad. But in the situation that we're discussing now, it may be useful. So it's really, it's...
It has to be a case-specific thing.
Yeah, usually on certain issues, I tend to take sides. But this one, I'm kind of in between. I don't know which side is the right way.
So someone's stalking you, does it belong to your stalker, the email that's in your inbox?
We have our quality control person here who says that the example we used was wrong because bank accounts do have nothing to do with email.
Well, if see,
that's what I was thinking. Do they have anything to do with it?
Well, think about it this way: if you do online banking, your statement goes to your email account, as opposed to going to your mailbox. So all your bank information is now trapped in your inbox.
Ask her if she worked at a bank.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the deal? Yes, we have an audience here that we
like.
If you don't have a physical checkbook and you do all of your banking online, whoever you leave your bank accounts to is responsible for the money. It has nothing to do with the email.
But if they can't access... Oh, right. So.
But there's a real bank somewhere that your money is in.
Sure, so you can...
So if you pay all of your bills online, your money is in a real bank somewhere, and the money goes to the successor.
Okay, so it's set up...
So, I mean, the email company, if you have AOL or something like that, there has to be a way for them to transfer it to you if it is even an issue. You just go to the bank and cancel whatever online payment you're doing. Unless you have like PayPal or something, which is completely different.
That's even more complicated.
More complicated, but if it's a bank, it's a bank.
Right. So you can still go to the bank and get it all fixed up, but you still... All right, that's cool.
But the email is separate.
Yes.
So now all of you with PayPal accounts, beware. Give your PayPal password to someone in your will.
Unfortunately, as we're looking for an answer, that doesn't really solve who the email belongs to. But
well, see, that's the problem.
Yeah,
depends on the situation.
Now we ruled out that it would depend on a bank.
But 30 years from now, when you know, the generation who grew up with just everything's on email, everything's over online, when we start to die off, we have to find a proper way to pass on our accounts, our domain names, and everything to other people.
Well, the domain names...
They're like digital...
Do you know who the domain name's going to go to? A domain squatter.
That's true.
That's it. End of story.
You probably lose it before you die.
That's true.
We got to start a squatting service just to get our own domains back.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, I think.
Yeah, well, only if your domain becomes big you have that problem.
Even if it's
having
small,
to look after
it.
Yeah.
If someone just wants to take it from you, they'll take it from you.
It's not it's true. Like what happened earlier in this year.
Was it Micro, I think? Or was it the terrorist?
Yeah, Micro.
One? Okay, Micro with Microsoft.
This Michael Rowe was the person's name. And he bought... He was developing websites, and he called his company Micro Soft. And just because it phonetically sounded exactly like Microsoft, Microsoft tried to sue him for the domain name.
Well, you could just obviously tell the guy's at fault because his parents named him that when he's born. You know, it's obviously his fault.
Yeah, of course.
it's just crazy. But then they actually dropped the issue.
They actually paid him for it eventually.
Oh, they did pay him for it?
Because
I know...
I think he opted for an Xbox. I think that's one of the options.
He was young. He was like... How old
was
he? 19?
He was a teenager or something. Yeah. Like he was somewhere between 16 and 19.
I have a feeling he was 19.
And the website was just him and some web pages that he made for other people.
Yeah, and offering
if you're someone around that age, you'd gladly take a $200 Xbox to shut things up.
They gave him some money for the domain too, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, because I remember initially they offered him some small amount for it, like $99, and even though
less
he already paid so much,
did that even cover? For,
yeah, paid, yeah,
yeah,
didn't even cover what he paid for this.
Right,
right.
Awful.
It was great.
Come on, are they that cheap that they can't shell out like a couple $100? Seriously,
they paid like $25 million for Lindos.
Yeah, they are that cheap.
They probably wiped their ass with that much.
I guess they figured since he was a little, like he was young, and he probably. Could be easily bought out, which I guess in the end he was, but...
He was definitely easily bought out as far as, like, small amounts of money could range anywhere from $5 if you're like, a kid or something, to, like, $500 if you're a huge company. So, small amounts of money could vary. But either way, being the size of Microsoft, anything below, like, $1 million is a small amount of money.
Anything below $1 million is pocket change to Microsoft. That's scary. Yeah. Their yearly earnings must be ridiculous, considering how many licenses they have.
Oh, that's crazy. I wouldn't even want to look at that.
You can look it up pretty easily, I'm sure, but...
I'm sure I could.
You have to be able to. They're on the stock exchange.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, you'll be able to.
It's public knowledge.
It's also the end of the year, so they have to post it sometime this month.
Depends on what their business year is.
That's true, but everything goes by the quarter system, usually.
Right. They have to...
The end of the quarter, they have...
Report or something of sort.
Yeah. All that fun stuff.
Joy. All right, more stuff that's going on.
That has nothing to do with Microsoft and their money.
But it does have to do with shutting down websites, like Microsoft did to poor Micro. And what I'm talking about is the torrent sites.
Oh,
that's going to be a sad thing.
It's a sad day
sad,
when you see supernova.org go down.
That was such a good site. I loved that thing.
Yeah, you can go there and you get all comic books and stuff.
Japanimation, come on.
Yeah. TV shows. You can get The Simpsons on here.
MacGyver. Wow. Seriously, where else can you get the whole series of MacGyver? I don't even think it's on DVD yet.
It's not. That's why people came here. People came here to get their random stuff. I mean, they got shut down because they were, you know, Where's Kings. They had, like, video games every day. But still, there was parts of this that were great that, you know, companies should have thought
the
of.
The interesting thing is that the sites didn't even have any of the files themselves.
No.
They just had the torrent, which...
Sometimes they didn't even host the torrent. They had a link to the torrent.
Right.
Which was hosted somewhere else.
It's a little strange what a site could get shut down for.
Yeah, I think what might have been happening was, I think Supernova might have been also one of the trackers.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like those websites were hosting like DCSS or something.
Oh, yeah. How that turned out.
Yeah.
In any case, so Supernova's down. I tried going to Torrent Reactor. I couldn't even find a domain.
Wow.
So I think that one's
That's
down.
Gone.
How about BoxTorrent?
BoxTorrent?
BoxTorrent. BoxTorrent.
I guess it's time to...
Well, let's check it out. BOX.
Torrents.
Torrents with an S. .com or...
.com, I believe.
BoxTorrents.com.
Is
that
it?
That brings me to Slicko.net, which means...
It's not there.
It's gone.
No.
And the reason that it brings him to Slicko.net is because the domain on my gateway is the same as the domain that I just bought a few weeks ago, so... It just...
Unless I misspelled it.
I'm gonna go run in the corner and cry now.
Yeah. Wait. It's coming up.
It is?
I misspelled it.
Oh, thank God.
But, wait.
It'll be down next week.
Is it working?
It'll be down next week.
Registered users, lots of torrents here.
So there's another chance. Is it working? Is it working? Is it working?
And... It looks like it's up. Yep.
Oh, thank God.
For now, but be careful. It's the last place left so far. Well, pretty sure there's some other sites. You can also get torrents right off of IRC and off of, people's homepages and things like that. Excuse me while I block this.
You're going to go back to the early days of MP3 trading when you had to search websites to see if they had links to the actual MP3s instead of peer-to-peer software.
Yeah.
Oh,
awful. Okay.
There was also the initial MP3 sharing on AOL back in the day, where they'd have the chat rooms with the bots on there. And you type up to sign in for the bot, and they would email you all this
crap.
Oh,
I remember that. Yeah, they had bots for everything.
Let's move down to IRC.
Yep.
Yeah, like, for example, I was just checking just to see if this got shut down, but it's still alive. Packet News is still here. And you can just, you know, type in an XDCC search, and there you go.
Nice. So it is there. So there is a BitTorrent site still up.
Well, Packet News is...
Until someone hears this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
No. Until somebody who doesn't want not hears this.
True.
Which will be a while, I'm guessing.
Okay, so that's pretty much it for the news today. I don't think. I'm just checking to see if anything came up in the last few minutes that's interesting.
Well, what was it that I saw? Listening to Nintendo music actually made me think of this. Mm-hmm. The modified Nintendo. That was just a couple days ago. I read on /.
Modified Nintendo, the one with...
It had its main processing unit overclocked to about like anywhere from 3.6 to like 4.2 megahertz when it's supposed to run at 1.79. So
I thought it was 1.69.
No, when I was talking to you before, I got that wrong. It was 1.7. Yep, I was off. It was 1.79.
Okay.
And the only side effects to overclocking it is once you get it up to like past the limited speed for the game, it will besides making the music all faster or higher frequency as it relies on the CPU clock for
the music
timing of the chip leads and whatnot, is the fact that it will like garble the graphics once it passes that point. I remember when I was reading at the site, it said something like first it starts with the sprites and then the whole game could possibly freeze up. But what this mod does, even though it sounds like it doesn't have any weird effects, is if you remember playing games where like there's more than four characters on a line, and the one character starts blinking or whatever.
I hated that.
Or you can't see yourself, which is the worst thing, especially when you're surrounded by enemies. That will clear that up, because it will be able to process that.
My favorite is when you get killed by the phantom enemy that was just off-screen and blinking.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It wasn't there a second ago. Crap. Also, let's see. So how much gear does it take to do that?
I don't know. I would imagine just a crystal. That's what it sounds like. To overclock an actual CPU, it takes nothing more than a crystal if you...
For the older ones, yeah. But nowadays, I mean, I believe one of the Pentium 4 chips you can overclock with a pencil.
No, one of the Pentium 4 chips you could overclock by going to a certain menu in your BIOS or in your CMOS settings.
But that's just cheating. That's just like voltage and changing it.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even moving a jumper. I mean, come on.
Where's I mean, at least with the pencil, you have to do some physical work.
That's true.
Even though it took 2 minutes, but...
If that.
Or you can be like Tom's Hardware and just go crazy and add some, like, nuclear reactor-like cooling and overclock something to 5 gigs, but... Which is scary. What was the lifetime on that thing? Like 2 hours before that it would melt down or run out of nuclear nitrogen or something?
Oh, I don't know. That's...
It was just taking it to the extreme.
Yeah, it definitely was. I don't know. I'm fine with a cluster, you know?
A cluster?
No, seriously. You get a bunch of CPUs. If you know there's something that it would be useful for, just use them all to their full potential instead of having them sitting in, like, a corner.
It's true. I mean, put them together and...
Use your idle cycles for something. I mean, hey, maybe you could even get a whole cluster going just for, what's the S,
Go on.
Search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
SETI.
Oh, SETI. Yeah. Why did I not remember
the... Is it still around?
I remembered...
Yeah, that's running strong, right?
It's running on SETI 2.0 now.
Oh, it's 2.0? When did that come out?
They're running it on the new Berkeley system called BOINC. I forgot what the acronym stood for.
A guy where I used to work, he had it running constantly on his system.
They got
certificates coming to him in the mail constantly.
Really?
Always. Wow. Yeah, he had it running.
Is he a member of one of those groups that...
He had it, I don't know, but I think he might have gotten in trouble for it, and I was forced to remove it from his system.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Taking up, you know...
That's so wrong, though.
That doesn't take up much bandwidth, though. Yeah. It takes up more CPU cycle than bandwidth.
It's absolutely no bandwidth at all.
Yeah, it's just like a packet every now and then for something to...
It's like a kilobyte.
No, I think they just thought it took up his time, his, like, productivity. I know he's paying too much attention or something. I don't know.
How do you pay attention to a screensaver?
Right.
It comes out.
It runs on idle cycles.
If you have ADD, you could pay a lot of attention to the screensaver.
I mean, you can also make it run all the time, but yeah, he would minimize it, throw it in the corner. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be running. You can run a command line even.
That's a good point. You can pay a lot of attention to a screensaver. My job, very boring. When the screensaver pops on,
it's
like the screensaver. It's a Windows 98 box, the screensaver where you see like the space people floating around and then the satellite in the middle or whatever it is. And
wow.
Well, but I figured out that there's actually a pattern the way that the space guy moves.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember at the moment. If I saw it, I would remember.
You're
but
so utterly bored. You found a pattern to the screensaver.
Yes, I found a pattern to the supposedly random-looking screensaver.
Well, they never claimed it was random anyway.
No, but it's supposed to look random.
Okay.
But it's definitely not.
That's amazing. All right, so now. Okay, I'm just taking a look at here on the overclocking guide just to see if there's any equipment you need. Da-da-da-da-da.
Find anything?
All there is to know on its limits. Check out the detailed photo company how-to guide. Watch videos. Oh, they have a video on how to do it too? Wow. That's taking.
Oh, yeah, they have videos on. Let alone how to do it, they have videos on how it looks afterwards, what the differences are.
Procedure. How-to. Okay. Doesn't look like you need a lot. Remove the screws. Cut off the original clock to the CPU before you can add your own.
Well,
so you need your own clock.
Yeah.
Carry it in by a flat wire on the board called trace. Yeah. It looks like that's about it.
Just replacing a crystal, I was right.
Yeah, replacing the clock and then soldering a couple things back in, obviously.
Oh, because it requires you to remove things just to get the crystal out neatly.
All right, so you need to just, you know, cut it out, put it back in, make sure it's working. However you want to do that. I wonder how, and that's what, 4.7 is the max safe speed that it can go?
I don't know. It's game dependent. I know that much. That different games had a different, like, halt rating, where it would just, like, the game would shit out on them.
And it says here, I guess most games are perfect at 3.3 megahertz, so to go safe, go clock it to 3.3 and leave it there. That works. I see no reason why not to try that out. I don't know. I mean, how many old Nintendos can you possibly find lying around that no one uses anymore?
A lot of them.
eBay.
Yeah. eBay. Right.
GameStop.
GameStop. Do they still sell Nintendos at GameStop?
Yeah,
they do. They sell.
Is Funko Land still around? I'm at Funko Land.
Aren't they owned by GameStop now?
Really?
I don't think Funko is owned by GameStop. Is it? Oh.
They all merged.
Okay. Really?
Forget what I said.
Interesting.
Okay.
GameStop, Funko Land, EB, Electronics Boutique.
Yeah, that's EB.
No, they're actually EB Games and Electronics Boutique are two different stores.
Really?
Oh. On different payrolls.
I did not know that.
They're all owned by the same company.
Oh, wow.
That explains a lot. See,
if you have a GameStop card and you look at it, it's same with Babbage's.
Babbage's.
They're all the same.
What? Really?
They're all under the same umbrella.
Because I noticed that recently in the Manhattan Mall, there's an EB Games store in New York City, and then across the street there's a GameStop. And as time passed by, the stores started looking more and more alike on the inside.
Yeah, the same ad.
The same prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be you can go compare.
Same sales.
Yeah, same sales. You used to be able to go across the street and get a better deal on certain things, so you'd go back around the shop. Now you just go to one. It doesn't really matter.
Does Software Etc. still exist?
Software Etc.? What was that?
I've been there in a while.
At Ghetto Brook?
Don't think it does.
Oh, at that mall?
I don't think it does anymore.
You used to be able to get different trading prices at each, but now since they're all the same.
They're all just by book.
They share software. They share everything.
That's everything retarded.
No, I think that was gone a few years ago.
Well, I have different names.
Now I remember what store you're talking about.
Yeah,
now, software,
up that way to the
whatever big, like,
the hippie place.
Yeah.
Tax break, I guess that's the only reason.
You report less income per name.
Okay, so let's see here. Okay, so you wanted to see what the Nintendo would be like on eBay, just right now.
Nintendo on eBay.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly take a quick
search.
I just want to know how much that old Nintendo in my back closet is worth.
mine still puts it...
$54.50.
You know, speaking of Nintendo's end modifications, mine actually already has a mod.
Wow, the original Nintendo game with Mario Duck Hunt and the gun for $54.50. One minute left.
I'll buy it.
You better hurry. Let's see. They have old games and everything.
Old games are awesome.
Hmm?
Super Nintendo.
Excite Bike, the best game ever.
Did anyone ever actually buy the N64?
What?
Excite Bike 64?
Oh, no.
No.
Because the only reason I would have considered it was because you could unlock the original version.
The original Excite Bike was great because you could create your own levels and whatnot.
And that was the best part of the whole game, making the impossible level that your friends can never beat.
Right.
And then
when they challenge you, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
Unless you go like 1 mile an hour.
Now, you know exactly where the pitfalls that are, though, so you have a good advantage.
But then again, it's like that game when I was young, I used to not know how to like control like the throttle on the thing, so I would just always hold the A button
until you overheat. Yeah, then you'd fall over on the side of the road.
Yeah, and it takes you like 5 seconds just to run back to the bike.
Video game running.
I think if you tap it, it'll run faster.
Yeah, I always used to tap it. If it helped it or not, I don't know, probably did.
It's just kind of like when you move in the game or in anything, you're just kind of giving that little extra help there. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that before. When you're playing a driving game, and you go...
Yeah.
I used to do that when we played the games. I would jump. I would stand up when I got to that part of the game. Just
it's like bowling.
Oh, man, that's great.
You mean you still don't do that now? When you play the game,
not as bad. I stay in the seat.
What about shooters?
That's true.
I stay in the seat. I don't stand up anymore.
Back a little bit.
Oh, be quiet! I do not stand up.
Even like playing like Doom 3 or something, like in a dark room, you won't just fly out the chair.
No, I'll actually like lean back and usually fall over.
Okay, that's good.
That's fun.
Hey, fall over, it did its job.
Yeah, really.
Well worth the $50.
And you gotta remember, these are like the old 2D games that, like, back in the late 80s, early 90s, too, so.
Come on, remember that when you bought that one game for NES, the gun one, where, not Duck Hunt, like the
other
one.
No, I know what you're talking about, the one that
is impossible.
Yeah, I still have that somewhere.
You do?
Like, Duck Hunt isn't impossible. Well,
no,
it
shooting the clay discs.
The discs is hard because as they get smaller, it's pain in the ass.
I got it down to a science, but
really,
remember last time?
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just putting the gun to the screen and you shoot it, and you see it shoot to the left and stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo mods, I have an interesting mod on my Nintendo.
Uh oh.
Stereo.
This is very very nice
stereo
one.
Sound?
Because The CPU, the modified CPU, it's a modified, 6502? It's called the 2A03. That's what Nintendo's run on.
Uh-huh.
And the main thing it adds, besides a few different, like...
functions?
Yeah, something like that, is two of the pins are for sound.
Okay.
The first pin is just for the square waves. And for, I guess it controls the cycling of each square wave outputs on that one. The other one is for the triangle noise and the PCM sound, the 1-bit PCM. So
you've hooked it up so that it works here?
So that on the right side you hear the triangle wave, which usually is used for bass, mm-hmm. the noise channel, which is usually used as the little like for drums and whatnot,
right.
And PCM, which is usually drums or like those weird like sounding voices that you hear in
the
game at times.
It's
just like basically for the lead and the harmony.
Didn't you get a couple of people to pay you to do that to their systems?
Did they pay me? I think they just paid for the parts.
No,
but it's fun because I added switches so you could turn it on and off and whatnot. So you could only hear the square waves when playing on the actual Nintendo instead of just like clicking a button on your emulator.
You know what project I wanted to try to do? I don't know if it'll work. I'm trying to get the light gun to work on a PC.
It's possible.
We need to.
I would imagine it's completely
to USB
possible.
Or something like that first. Using probably the same concept used before.
Or why don't you just get the the light guns for like the Xbox, which are USB cables, and just
because you don't have that authentic feel.
That's true.
That's right.
That's what we're shooting for. You
okay,
the
retro gaming.
The retro gaming feel.
You can just change out the hardware.
That's
mod,
true.
And mod it into the light gun shell.
Because there was...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, but the light gun's a lot smaller than, like, the gun... than the
Xbox
ones
gun.
Now.
Right.
But that's, like, the big
snipers. The light gun was
snipers.
So light, you could just fling it in the air, catch it.
Anything with the light gun, there was basically...
Pistol whip someone.
There was almost nothing in the handle.
Right.
It was empty. It was wire.
So why don't you just open it all up and just take out the wire that's there,
attach
the USB cable to
it. A converter chip in there and convert it right to USB. Make a... get one of those $5 wires for USB plugged into your computer. You're set. You can probably get one for like 10 cents off the web if you know.
You make making a converter chip for a Nintendo like on for to USB sound easy.
Hmm? Well, it, I mean, if they could do it.
Then you're going to have to develop a driver for
it. If you could do it for the controller.
Then you can...
Oh, drivers suck.
If you could do it for the controller, you can do it for the light gun.
Yeah, that's true.
Start a contest online. I mean, offer up something for the.
If I had money, I would.
Hey, does if people love the actual like just that stuff, they'll do it for not much.
That's true.
Spend like give them like a $25 gift certificate someplace to eat.
What will we give them? Let's see.
I think
$25 gift certificate to the Gateway store.
I'll give them my orange light gun. No, never mind. I'll keep that.
Yeah, well, this isn't the X10 prize. It's not like it's gonna be a. Anything that will actually give them incentive, like, oh, I really got to do this. Everybody's going to be like, it's only $25. Eh, somebody else will do
it. What happened for the love of doing something?
I wouldn't do that. Well, that's the only thing that drives people. Like,
and money.
And money, yes.
Enough money.
That's what Fear Factor is all about, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you can overcome your fears for only one reason. Money.
Oh, well. Are we tapped out of news?
I think I'm pretty much done, yeah.
All right, then I guess we should get on to the next section, which would be Distro of the Week. And as you can tell, again, that same theme as last time, since I didn't really get a chance to make the new ones. But anyway, yes, Distro of the Week. Nothing more than a report on a distro that was... used by one of us throughout the week. And remember, we are not limited to Linux distros. By distro, I mean anything from a small homemade OS and a few utils on a floppy to Longhorn.
Yeah.
Also know that by being the distro of the week doesn't mean it's a good distro. It all depends on how the week went using it. If you have a distro you would like a report done on, just drop a line to our email, basenet@slicko.net. And this week is... Yes.
I just have one interruption.
Which is?
Because I forgot something important, which was at the bottom of my list.
Uh-oh.
Linux 2.6.10.
2.6.10? Was released?
Yes.
Okay.
It was just a couple days ago. So if anyone can remember, get the fucking update.
Obviously excitement.
Maybe we should have an open source update
section of
our show. Yeah, that would be interesting. Just to update people what's going on throughout the week.
No, because I know it was over the holiday weekend, so some people probably aren't at work. They probably didn't check it out. Just remember that when you get back, you know, 2.6.10 is released, so if you want to give it a shot. It's not a release candidate anymore.
Okay. Right, anyway, as far as distro of the week is, this week is Core Linux. It's, I actually used this distro on a lot of my boxing a while ago. It's a very minimal distro, meant to be only what you need to be able to get your computer started, get connected to the internet, and compile and install other software. Not anything else. It didn't even have Vi.
Wow.
It actually came default with Nano, I believe, which was the Pico clone.
No Elvis? Wow, that sucks.
Not even Elvis. But anyway, there really isn't much more to say about it, besides the fact that if you don't like shuffling through the dependency after dependency while trying to get your favorite desktop environment set up, you really shouldn't use it. And besides, if you want to use like something like this to get a desktop environment running on, it's kind of pointless. Yeah, because that's...
Actually, it'll probably be a lot of fun.
Actually...
If you have the free time to go through the whole thing.
Right. Actually, I think they made this going for a basis for other people wanting to make other distributions. But I found this a while ago looking for an extremely simple bare-bone system for one to use when they're lazy to do Linux from scratch. But they want that bare-bones system... for whatever reason.
What kernel does it come with default?
Actually, it's like a 1.5-year-old kernel because they haven't touched it in 1.5 years around. I just checked the forums, and the developer of it has said if anybody wants to just work on it and do updates to it, feel free. Just send them a copy, and then they'll hand over the SourceForge page, which is actually coredistro.sf.net is their webpage. And we have about a minute left.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
That went fast. Huh?
Yeah, tell me about it. So, we're pretty much all finished for today. And, let's see, yeah, that will conclude this week's BaseNet Radio. Any questions, comments, or flames, just send an email to basenet@slicko.net, Slicko with a zero.
All right.
Up next is Binary Revolution Radio, hosted by Stank Dog.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, and take care.
Can I have some shout-outs before we go?
Yeah. You got 20 seconds.
All right, some shout-outs to The Fish and Taz for listening in this week. Some new listeners here in Danini, and also Eternity for not being afraid to say hi to a hacker on the train.
All right. Any shout-outs?
All right. I'm good.
Then we're done. Take care.
Woo.